Hi everyone, welcome to the Extra Stitch. And today we have a very special guest. That's actually my husband, Brian Knight. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
How are you
Excited
feeling
to be
today?
here. Feeling good. I'm glad
Nice
you
and
finally
relaxed.
invited me on.
I know, right? This is going to be very interesting.
Such an honor to be here.
I'm very curious if I'm going to learn something new after today's talk with you.
Can't wait to hear some of these questions.
Okay. All right, baseball, let's dive right in. I think a lot of people would be very interested about your upbringing, where you're coming from, and how's your childhood. Why don't you tell us about it?
Well, I was born in Los Angeles, and I lived in LA until I was six, and then I relocated to San Diego, North County, San Diego. So I grew up in a town called Encinitas for my majority of my childhood. I relocated there after my dad started a health business. So he had his office there, which required the whole family to relocate. So I went to high school there as well. And you grew up skating, lived in a coastal town down there. But yeah, had a pretty good, you know, fun childhood living in Encinitas. Ended up moving back down to LA when I was 18, but lived in Southern California for the majority of my life. And actually, Axel was born at the same hospital as me. So we have that in common, which is kind of cool.
That is very cool. And you actually have a tattoo with hospital coordinates that
I
you
do.
Did.
I got the tattoo of his coordinates right here. Well, I got it, you know, for myself. And now, you know, after Axel was born, it's for him now too as well.
Yeah, so it has double meaning.
It does.
It's very cool.
Special one.
Well, speaking of Encinitas, actually, Brian took me there. Did we go a couple of times? Yeah, probably a couple of times.
I feel like we've been down there at least like five times by now. I mean, it's not too far away. It's a quick 2-hour drive with no traffic, you know, if you're lucky.
It's such a beautiful town. Like, it's so pretty and so relaxed, and people are skating. And
it was kind of like a hidden gem, right? And then now, like, the word got out, and over the last like 10 years, I feel like it's developed so much. Great place for families. Every time I go back down there, I'm like, gosh, I kind of miss this, you know. But I love LA too as well, so, you know, luckily they're not too far away from each other.
I think our upbringings are so different. Our backgrounds are so different.
Very different.
I think you were very surprised when you came first time to my hometown. And when I went to yours, I was like, wow, this explains. Like, we are coming from totally different worlds.
Which is kind of cool, right?
Yeah.
It's like, it's not too common for a man from Encinitas and from Los Angeles to meet a woman from Latvia, right?
Mm-hmm.
And going to your hometown for the first time, I mean, what? How many people are in your town?
It used to be 9,000.
9,000? I mean, it's a small town, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so it's pretty incredible for you to make it all the way to New York. And, you know, we met New York, which is crazy. But, I mean, it's completely different.
Yeah, that's actually my next question. So in previous episode of The Extra Stitch, I told the story about how we met in February 2017. But I actually would love to hear your side of the story. What was your initial reaction when I turned to you so bluntly? Because Brian was sitting on a table behind me. and clearly,
never going to forget that.
And I'm just going to be completely honest. It was love at first sight from my side. So now you tell your story.
Well, I'll go back a little bit. So we were in New York doing a fashion show for a band I used to run called Stamped. And I saw Ginta walk into the fashion show. And she was wearing all of our gear. And I was like, who is this beautiful tan blonde girl? But she had a hat on. So it was like very discreet. I couldn't like really get a close shot of her face. I didn't. So it was just like, saw her wearing all of our gear, and I was like, huh. And then I didn't see her the rest of the show. And then we happened to have dinner later on that night, and she came as a guest to dinner, and I didn't expect her to be there. And I'm sitting at a booth right next to her, and she turns around, and it's just like a complete stare. And I was like, and it was a quick turnaround, though, so I still couldn't get get a good shot of her face and figure out who it was. And I thought maybe I'd known her because of the way she looked at me. I was like, is that someone I know? And then she gets up to go have a drink at the bar later on. And so I think you're talking to a photographer or something.
Mm-hmm.
So I walk up and we start talking, and she was just completely present the whole time. Like immediately when we started talking, it was just like energy was just aligned completely. I was like, wow, that's so different. So that look like definitely threw me off a little bit, and I didn't know what I was walking into when I walked up. I was like, this is gonna go either way. But
What made you walk up to me? Just because I looked at you? So you're curious if you actually know me or?
well, I was curious and I was like, wow, she's a beautiful blonde girl. I should probably go say hello. Some people say I have a type, and I don't know, there were some things that were
You
sticking out to
definitely
that
do.
type. So I'm definitely glad I did. But look, we had like I felt like the best conversation. We were talking for like 45 minutes straight. It felt like it didn't even feel out that long in a sense. Like we were just like it was like very effortless, our first
I
conversation.
remember first thing that you said to me, you start talking about one of the first things. It was about Duke, our dog that actually passed away last year. But
Always a
I,
plus when,
huh?
always a plus when they like dogs,
Oh my
it's a
God, it
red
was
flag if they
just,
don't.
you talk about Duke like he's your son. He's your son. But I was like, wow, this is so nice. Like to meet someone who's actually not like right away talking about themselves, but is like very like family oriented. You start talking about your sister being in New Zealand and like I was like, ah, he's a very interesting guy.
Yeah, Duke was, he's like my first son in a sense, like he was my best friend. So it was always, you were very interested in learning more about Duke. And I remember when you first came to LA, we'll probably get to this, but like just seeing how you interacted with him was super important to me. And you guys obviously had a special relationship, and just shows like you have a big heart.
Oh, thank you. You too. And I think that's where we connect. 'Cause we have very good like family values. You're like such a family guy. Very much homebody. And I'm the same in a sense. And maybe more outgoing. I like both.
You probably like to go out and do more than me.
For sure.
I guess I'm probably much more like in my routine and got my day planned out, and you're a little bit probably can be a little bit more like, all right, let's go do this tonight. Let's go do that. And I'll probably be the ones like, nah. But I don't say no all the time.
Well, yeah, let's finish up about the night that we met just because it's one little thing I want to call you out on this podcast is about so we had fun that night, we were like with friends hanging out, and then I went home. And Brian didn't text me. You didn't check up on me if I got
Oh
home,
boy.
okay? And to me, I was like, "Oh my gosh, we had such a chemistry. We had such a fun night." And I'm like, he didn't even text me. Do you get home okay? And I was like, was this really that bad of a night together? Like, so I was very surprised how you just reach out to me the next day at like 5 p.m. asking if I want to go for dinner.
Yeah, definitely you called me out on that multiple times.
I
And
know.
so expected you to probably bring that up today. So I remember texting Ginta the next day and asking her if he wanted to go have dinner with me, right? It was actually my friend's birthday at the time, and we were planning something in New York. We actually had a busy day that day, so it was like super late, and I just passed out and didn't really think too much of it. But I guess the gentleman move would have been to text you and make sure you're okay. So that was a slip on my part.
I forgive you.
But she definitely held it against me the next day, because when I invited her to come to dinner, she said it was love at first sight, but she was like, I already have plans. And I was like, okay. And so we ended up seeing each other briefly before I left New York, right?
The
Just for like a
following
quick,
day.
really, really quickly. That was obviously important for us to like have a conversation, just you and I, outside of like all the craziness and all the people around us through the last couple of days. So I'm glad we made that happen.
So we met up at Ludlow in New York and we had a couple glasses of rosé and we had such a fun conversation and you almost missed your flight.
Almost missed my flight, which is not like me, if you know me. I'm always on time. I like to think everyone would say the same. But I remember like walking up to the gate and they're like, oh, like you barely made it. And I was just like, wow, really? Yeah, but
It was worth
it
though,
was worth
right?
it. I was okay with missing it too. I was like, what's
Yeah,
she can
like
go back to the city.
well, and then you left to LA, and I think it was very interesting how you like start calling me, you didn't just like text, but you actually called me, and I was like, "God, oh, this is very refreshing. This is really nice." And it was nice to get to each other, know each other more before you actually came to New York a couple weeks later.
I think it's super important. I mean, we like obviously spent a little bit of time with each other, but we didn't know each other that well, right? And so, you're based in New York, I'm in LA, so we're just like carrying on the conversation via text. And I was like, you know what? Like, if I'm really gonna make an effort to go all the way back to New York, and even though it's like a common flight, LA to New York, it's a big one. So I was like, you know, let me just call her and like have a conversation. So I called you and you picked up, and I think you were moving into your new apartment at the time. And you were like, you're very happy to talk to me. And it was like a very, again, like a just very easy, natural conversation that we had. So it automatically just confirmed that I need to come back out. And so then I was like, all right, well, when should I come out? And then I figured it out. I came out to New York a couple weeks after that, 2 weeks after that, whatever. But yeah, I think it's important. Like, I think everybody these days just want to text back and forth. And it's like, how do you exchange any sort of energy through text message? Like, I think most men are actually scared to pick up the phone and like call a girl these days. They're like so like wired and just texting all the time. It's like, pick up the phone and call someone. I think most men are scared to do that, So I'm glad that you responded to that. And I think some women too might be like uncomfortable with someone calling them, but you weren't. You picked up the phone and again, had a really good conversation. And then that led to me coming out to New York. And I'm not sure if I'm getting ahead of it by going into that part of it, our next trip.
No, that's
So
okay.
I'll stay on your structure of your questions here.
No, it's all good. No, I forgot what I was about to ask you something. It was really cool that we actually, I feel like we connected as friends, right? First, we had like those nice talks, and it wasn't just right away being this like crazy love story right away, but which kind of was in a sense, but we were friends. I felt like you could be my best friend the way we talked to each other.
Wasn't that how it's supposed to be? You're
Yeah.
supposed to like marry your best friend, right?
Right?
That's important.
So true, so true. Well, now I wanted to ask you on the second time that I saw you, that was at the Ludlow House. On the way there, I was so excited to see you, and at the same time, I was like, I gotta tell him something. I gotta let it off my chest because I liked you so much right away, and I was very nervous to tell you that I'm actually going through a divorce. And I'm just curious, were you like anyhow like scared when I told you, or like how did you feel about it? Because it could scare a lot of people away.
Yeah, so it didn't bother me actually at all. I think I appreciated that you brought it up and I respected that. You were upfront, you didn't want to tiptoe around it. And then like after we started talking about it, there was no reason for that to be like a deterrent from me wanting to like have a relationship with you, I think it could scare away some people. Maybe some people never want to like have a relationship with somebody that has already been previously married, But at the end of the day, it's like you got married really young. You didn't have kids yet. You were in the process of going through a divorce. I had to be patient with that. And then it was like a fresh start for us. So obviously there was like some kinks along the way, but we got through it together.
We got through it together, and you've been like such a rock to me that first year. Because divorce is just like so much paperwork and lawyers, just like a lot of heaviness comes with it. And you were so patient and so gentle with me and so like understanding. I'll always be grateful for those times. Because that was like a dark time at the same time, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot for you to go through. Like I said, you got married young and having to go through that, still very young, it's a lot to tackle, but you got it behind you and you get to move forward.
My point being, you're such an amazing man. Always stuck by my side. It's so true.
Gotta have each other's back.
Yeah, for sure. And then, so first couple of years we had like long distance relationship. You were in LA and I was in New York. And actually, I got when I did Q&A on Instagram, some people asked me, "What's the secret about long distance relationship? How to make that work?" So I wanted to hear your intake on that.
That's an interesting one because I think so many people will have different opinions about making a long distance relationship work. And I think if you meet somebody and you think they're worth like just to exploring that more, like you should make an effort to do it no matter where they are in the world. Like obviously like it can be very complicated if you're trying to have a long distance relationship with someone that has like a 15-hour flight back and forth. But LA to New York was, you know, something that was a, you know, it was a common flight out of LA, and we were both really busy, and you were traveling a lot, and so was I. And we were committed to making it work, right? And I think that's what you have to do to make a long distance relationship work, right? If it's worth it to you, then do it, you know? But if you like are just gonna have a small mindset about it and limited to, hey, you know what, I'm only gonna meet somebody in my town that I live in my zip code, then your options are gonna be pretty small, right? So, you know, I thought it was fun, you know, like I enjoyed going back and forth. You know, you showing me your city and taking me around and meeting all your friends. And we almost like, you know, having this little community there and me meeting, you know, everybody that has been a part of your life. You know, I enjoyed it, you know, so I loved it. It definitely got a little bit exhausting, you know, like taking a red eye on a Thursday night, wait, you know, thinking I'm gonna be like, get through a Friday and like power through the day and just being super tired halfway through the day. But you know what? I would do it again. And I think for anybody out there who's like trying to figure out if they can make a long distance relationship work, I mean, you can, right? It just takes commitment. It takes you making it work, just like anything in life, right?
So true. That first time you came out to New York as well, I was working, remember? Because you came for a weekend. And I got the job so last minute. And I was like, Brian, I'm so sorry, but I'm going to have to work one of the days. But actually, we made the best out of it. And it was so much fun.
And it was kind of funny because it was kind of like a surprise. Like I'm working all weekend. We like kind of committed the trip, and you're like, oh, by the way, I'm working. I'm like, okay, we'll figure this out. And then I booked a hotel right next to the studio because you were shooting at Milk that day, or if that weekend, you shot 2 days in a row. And then so we took advantage of the time that you weren't working. When I landed, you know, you pretty much came over like right. Actually, you were working that day too because you came right from the shoot. Then went out to dinner with two of your friends, and it was like a. I was like, all right, cool. For our first dinner in the city, I'm gonna go meet two of your friends. So it's like the four of us, but we had a good night. Went to some cool
Natasha
restaurant.
and Francois?
Yeah,
Yeah.
and then came back, and you know, you worked every single day. And then at the very last day, you invited me over to the studio too, which was like, it's kind of, I was like, wow, she wants me to come like meet everybody she's working with now. I was like, that's, I wasn't expecting that
But
either.
it was with Lasenza that I've been working for 10 years, so they're like my family. And they had like after the shoot, they would usually have like a little aperitivo together. So I was like, oh, why don't you just come here and we just like chill? And I wanted them to meet you too. So it like worked out.
It felt like I was meeting her whole family, like meeting the parents already or something like that. You know, I was like, whoa, okay. Hey, everybody. But it was good, you know, and it showed that, you know, you were, I think that showed like a level of your commitment right away too, as well. It was like you weren't trying to like hide me or like meet everybody right away, you know? So I don't know. It was cool.
So true. Yeah. Fun times. And then when do you think, how did we came about that I should move to LA? And was it a big change for you?
I think we were always like thinking about what would be best for us long term, right? Is New York going to be the city? Is LA going to be the city? And I think that decision happened like really naturally for us, even though we were like, hey, where do we want to be, right? Because you already spent enough time in LA. I spent enough time in New York. And we're thinking like long term about ourselves too. Like, you know, we would talk about having a family and all that stuff. And it was like LA just made more sense, right? And I think you had like a bad experience in LA, or almost like just a bad perception of it. So it was never like a city you would consider living at. And then I kind of showed you a new side of it. So you're excited for that. So I think the decision was easy, and it was necessary because like we couldn't ma have made it work like forever like that, going back and forth to New York. It would have been a little bit too much. So, you know, I'm glad that we picked LA. It obviously, I think, was the right decision. It's where we've started our family, and I think now you like living out here as well.
It definitely grew on me. When I met you, you said you were from LA. I was like, no way. Don't tell me you're from LA. But you see, it didn't really like, you know.
I feel like it's like a New York stereotype sometimes of LA. You know, they're like, everyone just like thinks they're like way busier and more stressed out than people in LA, and like we're just on vacation over here or something like that. But
Oh, you're definitely not on vacation. You work like 24/7. But it's definitely different. And I feel like in LA, people are like hanging out with each other a lot more. It's like a lot of house thing. Like you really have to kind of live here to understand it. And I think that's what I didn't really get because I would come here for jobs in and out super quick. And I'll be like, well, okay, everyone's just driving. No one even walks on the street. So that was weird to me because I love walking. And in New York, that's like the best way to get around.
both, you know, I mean, like, I feel like New York as a city is one of the best cities in the world, right? Like, you can't really compare New York City to Los Angeles. They're like completely different, you know? So, when we go back to New York, it's like you walk around, like, that energy you get, like, just seeing all the people outside, all the amazing restaurants. I'm like, you don't really have that in LA, you know? But what in LA you do get is like more space. And just you get a
Nature.
lot of the same stuff. It's just a little bit more spread out. It's a big city. You got to drive everywhere, right? In New York, you can walk around or kind of be anywhere pretty quickly. You know, in LA, I mean, it could take you an hour and a half to get somewhere that's only like 5 miles away, you know, if traffic's bad. But yeah, you know, I'm happy we, I guess I'm kind of like biased towards the West Coast, being from LA and living in Southern California my whole life, you know, and I think I always envision like having a family here too as well. So
And it's definitely a great place to raise kids. I feel like for our son Axel, it's so much to do. There's so much activity in nature, beach, and so you have all these different options here, which in New York, I'm sure there's a lot of opportunities too, but it's just much harder because the space is so limited, you know?
yeah, definitely.
Well, then let's go back to time when you proposed to me. I know we kept
Oh
this
boy.
very low key, but now the cat is out of the bag. So, how did you decide to propose to me?
Well, I think when you know, right? And for me, once I made that decision, it was like, okay, now I want to like start picking out a ring. Once I picked out the ring and did all that and took possession of it was like I couldn't like wait any longer. I was like very like anxious. I'm like, oh, I got to do this right now. Like, you know, like the ring's like at the house now. I'm like, I just want to do it. So then I was like, all right, she's pretty good at being able to, you know, like detect what I'm, you know, like you can pick up on stuff pretty easy. So like surprises are kind of hard. So I knew it had, when I proposed to you, it had to feel like a normal day, like something we normally do, right? And at the time we were living in Venice, and I was like, hey, you wanna, what'd I say? I think I'm like, you wanna go have a nice walk on the beach before we go have dinner? We would always go have dinner at this really cute Italian restaurant.
Called a Casa
It's
Ado
Casa Ado. I'm not sure if it's
on
still
Venice
there in
Beach.
Venice. So we did that, and it happened to work out perfectly because there was like nobody on the beach in Venice, which is kind of weird. The sunset was perfect. I had a buddy of mine follow us to take photos, and we're walking down the beach, and then Ginta like turned around. She's like, "The sunset's amazing. Look at it." And then she's like, "I'm gonna take a picture of you." And I remember being like, "Okay." You know, and then like in my pocket there is like this big box, and she was like, take that out of your pocket, take that out of your pocket. And I was like, it's okay, I'll just leave it, you
I was
know,
like,
it's
what
like,
is this, car keys?
yeah. She's like,
Because
yeah.
he's thinking.
So like I didn't know like where know where to put it. And that was another thing too. I remember like being like, okay, like I can't lose this, so like trying to find like somewhere like very discreet on me to put it. Like there was risk there, like I could lose it or something. I'm like, you know, let me just put it in my pocket, you know. But it looked like I had a freaking brick in my pocket. So she, of course, she calls me out. So now my heart's starting to beat a little bit. I'm like, oh gosh, she just asked me to take the ring out of my pocket. And then I was like, all right, I got to do this quickly. I got to figure this out. So that this is like Ginta's like little detective. She's probably already like putting things in her head a little bit. Like, why does he have that? What's that in his pocket?
Yeah, I'm very good at finding stuff, for sure.
And then so then we took the picture, and then I think we probably walked for another like 30 seconds, and then that's when I proposed to her. And I think you weren't expecting it, were you?
I did not expect it. I think that's like biggest surprise in my life, for sure. Because like you mentioned, it's very hard to surprise me. I always find out things or figure out or I already sense it. Like I have this like sixth sense. I don't know what it is. So just the fact that you pulled it off and like completely surprised me like that, no one ever have surprised me like the way you did it. I was like, I was so impressed. And just the setting, it was so beautiful. Seriously, the most beautiful sunset. And there's no people, which is really shocking because each time I go to Venice Beach, there's full with people. So it was really like and beautiful sunset. I'm like, where's everybody?
It's almost like kind of bizarre, you know?
Yeah, and then you got on your knee and then all I hear suddenly like snap, 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 snap. And I'm like, what, who's taking picture? Like, what is going on? And I didn't even answer to you because you asked me a question, would you marry me? And I was like, who's taking pictures of us? And just like looking
You heard the
around.
question and you said click, 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 click.
Yeah. And then you're like, oh, like I organized. I was like, okay, that makes sense. Yes, I'm gonna marry you. Like, it was so fun. Like, such a beautiful night. And then we went to Casa Ada and we had this beautiful bottle of Orfeu.
Prosecco.
Orfeu. We called my mom and you told me, because I was like, did you ask my mom? And you were like, yeah, we've been talking. I'm like, how? Because my mom doesn't speak English. And Brian used Google Translator and he showed me all the messages. And I was like, I
Was on
cannot believe.
WhatsApp and on his Messenger. It was kind of funny too. That was another little challenge navigating that. It was like, okay, like what do I do here? You know? It's like so I got her on WhatsApp, started messaging her, doing the whole Google translation. And yeah, it was pretty cute. And then I remember sending the message to them. There was like a little, del she like, I could see that she read it, but she like didn't respond right away. She like kept me on ice for a little bit,
Sounds
you know?
about right. That's my mom.
I was like, all right, like, am I gonna get a thumbs up or something here?
How long did she did you waited?
I mean, it took a little while. She did a good job of that, making me like, you know, like, what is it? What is it gonna be? But then I got like a very like dry yes. You know, I think that's all I got was something like a one word, you know, it's cute.
Oh wow. You know, it probably took a minute for her because she wanted to show my stepdad. And she probably talked to my brother. You know, I'm sure she was so excited right away, but like, you know, I'm sure it took a moment for her.
Yeah, she got to digest it.
She kept you on your toes.
I had to get her blessing though.
Aw, that means a lot. Like in my culture, my family, it's like you always have to ask permission. And yeah, mom's very happy that you did. But I loved reading all the chat because I understand English and Latvian. And to read both sides, I was like, oh my God, they're so cute.
I think we still have that chat somewhere, right?
For sure. Let's dig it up. Well, and then during pandemic, we actually got married.
We did.
Our wedding didn't plan the way we wanted. There's a lot of things that happened, but we did get married and we still want to do a wedding ceremony. What do you think about all that? Like how it planned out and what are we thinking doing moving forward doing wedding?
Well, I think the most important part is like we did get married and that happened. And, you know, that's what matters. I think the actual wedding celebration where we can invite, you know, close friends and family and do all that can happen whenever makes sense. You know, it was unfortunate that we had something planned and then there was a lot of turbulence during that and we had to postpone it and yet to be. You know, yet for us to actually figure out when we're actually going to do it next. But look it, I think you know, I envision us doing something probably like in Europe and Italy or something that's closer to your family, easier for them to get to. I don't think anybody on our U.S. side is going to mind, you know, coming to Italy. Everyone loves an excuse to come hang out there. So I think exploring that and doing a nice little wedding celebration in Italy would be fun. But you know, right now. Like when we start talking about it, like I just want to be super present with raising Axel and you know and all that. And I think when it makes sense for us to plan it out, we'll do it. And I don't think we have to like rush into it. Like it's like this like obligation. Like we're gonna there's gonna be a time where we're like, you know what? Let's plan this wedding celebration. Let's do it. And then that's and it's gonna be a good one.
And we're definitely gonna do it. I don't wanna be that couple who's like, yeah, we're gonna do it in the future and just never do anything about it. We should definitely do.
We're
Celebration. It'll
definitely
be
gonna have to do
beautiful.
it. I mean, you know, you bring it up at least once a day, so
Do I?
yeah,
And imagine Axel's gonna be a ring boy. So cute. Just a little like, oh, he's adorable. Well, during pandemic, we were very busy. I got pregnant. So, how do you remember the day when I told you that I'm pregnant?
Oh, that day. It's kind of a funny story too. So I was sitting at my home office working, and Ginta says she has a present for me. And she comes walking down the stairs and she has this beautiful black box. It's like perfectly wrapped. It looks like it's going to be something very special. And so she goes and sits down on the kitchen counter, and I'm like coming up from my office. I'm walking over and I'm like just excited to open up this box now. I'm like, look at this beautiful gift that she got me. I open it up and I see Ginta just like kind of standing there, and she's like, you just have this little like kind of smile to you,
Because I had the hidden camera as well.
the hidden camera that I didn't know about. Good job with that. So I open this gift and then I see the pregnancy test. And I'm like, it took me a second. I was like, wow. And I look at her, I'm like, this is real. Like I like really had to like almost pinch myself, making sure like she's not just like messing around with me. And then once I like was like, wow, my gosh, this is happening. It was just like a big, like overwhelming experience, but it's amazing. And I wouldn't change anything. But it was definitely one way to let me know. Surprise.
Surprise for sure. How did you view me as a woman during pregnancy?
Pregnancy is such a beautiful thing, I think, for every woman. And you just carried yourself so well. I remember just like looking at you through like every stage and just being like, wow, you look so beautiful pregnant. I remember seeing you at I remember picking you up at one of your doctor's appointments, and it was happened to be your birthday that same day. And then we went and celebrated your birthday right around the corner, and we were sitting outside, and you were so pregnant. I mean, you were like your due date was within weeks, right?
2 weeks.
Yeah, because Axel was born on the yeah. Maybe
July
should
13.
we say that out loud?
Yeah, Axel was born July 13 and my birthday June 30th, so it was like almost 2 weeks prior. I was huge. My belly was like whew.
So we're sitting outside at the restaurant having your little birthday lunch, and you
At the
just
Ivy.
at the Ivy,
Yeah.
and you look very pregnant. And it was just like, it was for you, it was just like straight out. Your belly was sticking out, and I was like, wow, like this is gonna be a big boy.
I need to make a wish.
But you look so beautiful as a pregnant woman, and you carried yourself very well.
Thank you, babe. And actually, that day was very special, and I was so happy. The biggest gift for me was that Brian was actually able to come with me for doctor's appointment because it was still the pandemic time, and
Did they actually let me in that day?
they did.
It's weird, They were like, I remember having, they were like sneak me through like the back door. It's like, all right, you can come. It's like, okay. Like,
Yeah, and it's so weird because you're pregnant, but it takes two people, and it's like I want my husband to be there with me.
yeah, it was a little weird for sure, but
Yeah.
at least I got to go a few times. They were like lenient with the rules and stuff because it was always like FaceTiming me while you're at the appointment to get updates. And you obviously want to be included and be supportive, because it's a lot that you're going through, and like getting news every single time you have one of those appointments, sometimes I feel like it can be overwhelming for you, right? You don't know if it's good or bad or what. And I think it's important for both parents to be there.
100%. So speaking of baby delivery, I'll never forget that day. I'm sure you won't either. And just the fact that you were so involved and you were like the biggest support system for me that day and like so chill at the same time, it was pretty impressive. What do you remember about that day?
That day, I mean, it was a lot going on that day, right? I mean, if you go back to like even the drive to the hospital, I remember you just like in the car, just like taking deep breaths and just like, I'm like, oh my gosh, you're gonna have a baby in the car. Like, what's going on here? Just like, and then we hit like traffic going over the hill, and I was like, I just need to get to the hospital, I was like, I mean, for people that have, births at home, like that's amazing. I felt some comfort with, just pulling up to the hospital because, it was stressful, and it's new for everybody that's going through it for the first time. And I just remember like checking in and getting settled in and automatically feeling better. But when it came time, which was, within what, like 6 or 7 hours from us checking in, maybe a little bit longer. I think we got there at like 7 a.m. or something like
Six,
that.
seven, like, yeah,
Yeah.
seven.
And then Axel was born at what time?
In the evening, so it was
Yeah.
all like long day that day for sure.
Yeah. So once it came time where it was like, all right, we're gonna do this, I just remember like, look at yeah, like I was fully committed to whatever I had to do. And I remember people talking to me too, like, are you gonna be in the room? It's like, I'm like, to me, looking back, I'm like, what kind of question is that? Am I gonna be in the room? Like, what are you gonna go do? Like, hide? It's like you're the mother of your child is giving birth. Like, you have a responsibility to be there and like support them. And I mean, even looking at myself, it's like, I wanna be a part of that, And it was incredible, but it was a lot. I mean, I remember just being like, oh gosh, like when's he gonna come out? Because it seemed like you were obviously going through a lot. I mean, it's a crazy experience for your body to go through, but a beautiful experience at the same time, And I remember seeing Axel come out and just kind of having relief and being like, okay, he's out now. And the doctor telling me like he's gonna be really purple when he comes out, So like, don't be scared. And then he looked a little purple when he came out for sure. But there was a relief right away, and then just, seeing after they had to do what they had to do, and brought him over to you, I was just like, oh, this is incredible,
And I will never forget that feeling when you took off your shirt and they put Axel on your chest,
Yeah.
and I could see tears in your eyes.
You always send me that picture.
I'm gonna cry now too. Oh my gosh. I guess ever since I became mom, I just cry all the time.
This is very normal behavior. Ginta cries every single time we leave the house.
Brian ignores that because he knows I just cry all the time. But it
Well,
was
I
so
mean, she
emotional.
cries every time we leave the house and Axel's not with us.
Oh, that too, yeah. Even this morning I cried leaving the house. But it was how was that first moment when you were sitting on that chair and they put Axel here on you?
It's hard to describe that, Like, I can't really put words to it. It was just incredible. And I enjoyed every bit of it. And, and we had a healthy baby, and that's all that matters.
What your advice would be to a new dad to be? What do you think it's important for someone?
My advice for a new dad is be patient. And I think, too, you get a lot of like information, like people, oh, it's gonna be stressful, it's gonna be this, and it's gonna be that. And it's like, I think going into it like that was automatically gonna make it stressful. Just like understand, like it's a journey and this is gonna be different, right? So with that, you just have to adapt and like be a student to the process. 'Cause I don't think you can do any sort of like, education, self-education to be prepared for what the change is gonna be like. But understand that it's gonna be amazing and it's incredible, and I love every bit of it. And you just have to be patient through the process. Even when you're on like a phone call, having like a meeting or something like that. And if Axel were like running the room, it's just like, I just stop for a second, mute, pick him up, and then hand him back over to you. And it's like, there's gonna be a time where that stops happening, and you'll look back, and if you get upset over that, you're just gonna, like, that's not the way to go about it. Just like appreciate those moments as well, because it's a journey. You have to be patient. And I think just it's gonna be an incredible experience for you, for any new dad out there.
And what do you think was the biggest change for us as a couple after Axel came into the world?
The biggest change as a couple, I think there was a lot of changes, but I think you just had to. You think you have a new respect for each other automatically. Now you're not just husband and wife, you're the mother of my child, right? So it's like I think you look at everything different. And I think you just have to communicate very well in any relationship, and especially when you're dealing with like a newborn, and be patient with each other as well. I mean, kind of being redundant with that statement, but I think with each other, it's just equally as important.
So true. Well, thank you, Brian. Now we're gonna play a little game. Are you ready?
What kind of game are you talking
It's
about?
called the quick Q&As.
Q&A. Okay,
The
what do
quick
you got
one. I
here?
have like Let's see how many
Oh,
questions I have
great.
for you.
A little surprise.
A little surprise. Oh, actually, 13. I have 13 questions for you.
13?
But you can answer fast, so it's
Lucky 13.
Lucky 13. Axel was born July 13, so there you go.
There we go.
Number one, what do you value the most in woman?
Her heart.
Sweet. Top three qualities in me.
You're humble, you're a good mother, and you're a good wife.
Oh, thank you. Work or vacation on the beach?
I'm really bad at vacation, so work.
So true. That's why I put it in there. Best parenting advice?
I feel like I just answered that, but be patient.
Okay. One thing that you could change in your past?
I probably would have read way more books when I was younger and took more advantage of the school system. I think now later on in my life, I've come to like appreciate just knowledge and education and all that. And when I was younger, I was like a little bit more rebellious and all that. And now looking back, I think for anybody who's like a student in school and like he hasn't even gotten to college yet, it's like take advantage of every opportunity to learn because it's only going to benefit you later in life.
What's your motto in life?
Tough times don't last, but tough people do.
Good one. Happiest moment in our marriage?
Hard to say, like one moment. But I think the happiest time in our marriage is when you gave birth to Axel.
Best advice for Axel?
Best advice for Axel. That's a good one. I think for Axel, what I tell him is to not cut corners. There's no shortcuts in life. Anything that you want to get, you're going to have to work really hard for. And you can't cut corners. You got to be kind and you have to respect others.
It's a good one. What's your best advice for finances and money?
My best advice for finances and money? Save as much as you can. Don't spend more than you make. And look at investing money into assets that spit out cash flow.
Whoa. If you didn't live in LA, where would you choose to live?
You know, I feel like we talk about this sometimes. And I think Miami could be a nice place to call home. But I'm very happy in California. But I think Miami.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about the U.S., but we're talking like home base, I think, Miami.
Yeah, it could be anywhere. Yeah. Miami's good. What's your most precious memory with Axel?
That's another hard one. You know, I feel like every day it's like new memories and new special moments and stuff. So my most precious memory with him was his second birthday that happened recently. And just being like looking at him and being like, wow, like he was just such a well-behaved gentleman, you know, during his whole birthday. And he's just such a kind, good boy. I just enjoyed that moment, just being there and spending that time with him on his second birthday.
And what is the funniest memory of Axel? It could be like something he's done or...
A funny time was when he like finally learned how to use the hose in the backyard, because I think with everything, they're like, when they start to like dabble with something, you're like, is he going to figure this out?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, he figured it out. And this is like a complicated hose system. It like goes into like two different, it splits and like goes into like an outdoor shower and then it goes into the hose. He like figured out how to turn on the hose side and then turn it on and then start spraying us with the hose.
Yeah. And chasing
and
us
he thinks
around.
He thought it was hilarious, but. So, I mean, it's funny when you actually look at those moments as like when you don't have kids, you look at like things that like other kids do and you're like, that's really cute. And then once you actually have a kid, like everything they do is extremely cute and funny. So.
Or like you asked him the other day, how did you sleep? And he's like, I slept good. Oh, yeah, and that was the first time he said that. And we're like, oh, my God.
Yeah. When they say like new words and stuff with their little baby voice, it's the cutest thing ever.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Brian, for today. This was such a lovely afternoon with you.
Thank you for having me. I'm honored to be here.
Did you enjoy?
you always have the best questions, Ginta. Thank you for having me. I enjoyed this.
Thanks, babe. Love you.
I love you too.